So my talk today is going to be about the Shi'i and the Sunni approach to biomedicine. So I would start my introduction by saying that the halal issue is not a normal issue. It's often reduced to food rules, and it proves to be more extended and somehow more complicated than the list of allowed food for Muslims and the way of slaughtering animals or allowed animals. Exploring halal as a field of research can be very interesting, considering the varieties of approach that it offers to a researcher, and it's astonishing today to see the growing realities covered by the word halal in the world. So today's economists are speaking about a proper halal market today, between a growing offer of labeled products and a growing demand of such products. Apart from food and trendy financial products that miraculously saved some countries from the international crisis, the market offers a variety of products that sometimes we don't see any connection with halal. The two last arrivals, for example, were a halal sex shop in Turkey on an online website offering approved products and a new. And the last one was a new halal fitness DVD coming from Puerto Rico from a converted coach called Zainab Ismail. So halal fitness is the body is totally covered by a hijab, and Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is just recited and said before any exercise. So exploring the origins of this market of halal, one may find that it was born in diasporic context, not in really Muslim countries. Even today, this diasporic context offers the most interesting and the largest markets in halal demands. So conscious of the demand of Muslim minorities, European non-Muslim meat producers saw the profitable vein and decided to provide this demand with labeled meat. So the demand for halal meat evolved to cover many different areas of consumption, and we have today a market. So the halal market is often compared to kosher market, but it's quite different in terms of actor mainly, as the kosher market has always been under the control of religious authorities in charge of respecting the kashrut, while halal seems to be more like a commercial brand with a religious basis. The control by religious authorities made the kosher market depending on religious authorization, while the halal was born outside this religious sphere and lacked very often of this religious control. This has not prevented this market of being prosperous and very, very developed today. So the topic of my intervention is more about the halal demand than the halal market itself. It is about the intervention of halal questions in a domain that we do not generally link with halal. It is biomedicine. So biomedicine is defined as the use of elements of the human body in curing people. So the halal approach to biomedicine was part of my PhD research on biomedicine in Muslim and Jewish contexts in Israel, Tunisia, and Egypt, and how positive laws are made to handle euthanasia, organ donation, and medical assistance to procreation. So biomedicine being a large domain, my focus will only for this talk be on two specific points, organ transplant and reproductive techniques. Not that they are the only problematic techniques with regards to halality, if I may say, but those are presenting the most interesting debates and points. So for organ transplant, transplantation is now an effective technique. It's the best solution, for example, for any person suffering from a kidney disease in terms of life quality and costs. A transplant of kidney costs less than dialysis for life, for example. Unfortunately, and pending the development of transgenic and mechanical organs, the only source available today is removing organs from living or deceased donors. But we have to look at the WHO reports, the Organization of Health. Transplant activity in the world, the Muslim countries are laying back behind other areas in the world. And it also appears from many reports that I made that religion is often invoked as a motive for refusal. So the tendency is, from this report, that we can say that organ donation seems to be considered as haram by most of the Muslims. Before seeing the positions of the religious authorities in Muslim world on this organ transplant issue, it's interesting to see how biomedicine transformed the hospital into a space for halal question. It was not a question of halality before, and how halal is questioned into the context of organ transplant. So new biomedical techniques always challenge religions of the world, all of them, not only Islam. But since the first steps of organ transplantation, Islam raised several questions about the permissibility of organ transplant, especially that all the biomedical technique we need to notice that are coming from the West. Islam do not produce biomedical, Islamic countries, they're importing biomedical techniques. So the question was not only asked by patients themselves, but also by the medical staff, the families deciding to say yes or no to a removal of an organ, and especially by bioethicists and jurists. In all the context of the word, so a religion has to play a role in the bioethical reflection in general via these bioethical committees. But in the Muslim world, it's not the only, not one of the actor, but especially sometimes the only actor, as most of Muslim countries have Islam as official religion of the state. So when biomedical techniques started to be introduced, they brought several questions. Mainly, the question are, one side is the availability of human body of the living donor. And according to religion, that considers that the body is only loaned for a life, not given entirely. And the other side, the mutilation of a corpse of the deceased donor. Second question, the donation being usually anonymous. The question of who is the donor is reluctant, especially when it comes to interfaith donation. Can I get the heart of a Jewish person or a Christian person or an atheist? Will it change my contact or my religion? Especially that interfaith inheritance is not possible according to Sharia laws. A Christian cannot inherit from a Muslim and vice versa, even if it is a mother sometimes and a child. So the new researchers on transgenic organs, which is conducted today, has also brought new question about the legality of genetically modified pigs, pig being the closest heart to an animal reign to humans. So another crucial question related to organ donation is the brain death and the time lapse between death declaration and organ removal. Brain death does not fit with the Islamic definition of death, which is cardio and respiratory death. And brain death do not fit with the belief of ajal, the term that Allah the Creator would set an end to all the deadly creatures that cannot be or postponed or advanced. So all those questions created a demand for religious answer by the religious authorities in different countries of Islam. But the lack of central and unique authority made several positions coexist today, making it very difficult to harmonize, allowing many versions of what we can call a halal science. So to reach actual positions, organ donation was thought in the framework of the obligation incumbent to every Muslim to seek a remedy for disease and to maintain health even in banned substances. Sometimes consuming alcohol, if it is in medicine, is allowed, or eating pork when you are nearly going to die in the desert, even if it's hard to find the pork in the desert, but it is allowed. So organ donation was firstly thought in terms of maslaha, utility or general interest. This concept, according to Al-Shatibi, an Andalusian jurist, is based on the needs and necessities of the moment. So it may change. Maslaha may change from one time to another. It takes into account development in a Muslim context. So after the closing of doors of Ijtihad, this concept allowed to respond to the legal vacuum formed by the issues that have been clearly answered in the Quran or the prophetic reference Sunnah. So if Muslim jurists have made different classification of maslaha, they all agree that they should seek to achieve in all circumstances, regardless of the context in which Muslims are, to preserve religion, persons, reason, procreation, and property. So despite the appearance of maslaha khasa, which is a private utility that one operation of organ donation can be, transplantation has been reflected as a mean of achieving a maslaha amma, I mean general utility and saving all lives. Quran saying, and whosoever gives life to a soul, it shall be considered as giving life to all mankind. So organ donation received approval from all Muslim authorities. Even if removing organs for transplantation was termed was posed firstly in terms of mahdurat, forbidden things or prohibited, as it was to give power to humans on their own bodies, Muslim jurists includes into the cases where Sharia allows exceptionally that it is generally prohibited. So according to the principle of al-darurat tubih al-mahdurat, necessity abolish prohibition. Achieving a maslaha becomes though a darura, a necessity that would justify the removal of organs from a living or diseased donors. So the removal of a body is also justified by the principles of akhafu dararain in Sharia, the lesser evil. According to this principle, when it is about to choose between two evils, the choices should go to the one with the least inconvenience. So an organ from a cadaver would be lesser evil, preferable to a greater evil than to keep a person sick or to let a person die. As in other religions in the world, Muslim authorities, both Sunni and Shia, agree that the removal of a living person remains subject to the requirement of self-preservation of the donor and the gratuity of the gift. So even in positive legislation with no real connection to Islamic law, the content is based on these religious fatwas. So the best example that we can give is the one of Tunisia, where positive law broke in many cases with religious laws or Sharia, for example, by forbidding polygamy and allowing full adoption. So the content of law organ transplant is clearly inspired from religious fatwas. The examination of the law-making process reveals that the National Bioethical Committee asked the Mufti before making a law. However, two positions seems to be quite original compared to the official position of Islam. We have the position of Sheikh Al-Qaradawi in 2009, saying that selling organs is halal. The body is a property offered to men. They are free to sell it. So it is in this term that he announced his position at the International Islamic Conference for Research on Organ Donation, reunited to discuss the acceptability of brain death in Islam. The same day brain death was accepted, Al-Qaradawi made this declaration allowing Muslims to sell their organs. The context of Egypt was very dangerous at the time because Egypt is suffering from a huge organ trafficking networks. The second, the position of Sheikh Al-Qaradawi is not that original because it joins the position of Iran. In Iran, Iran implemented since 1988 what they call ALERT, living and related donors. For kidney transplantation, Iran is the only country in the world today with no waiting list for kidney transplantation because it is possible to sell the kidneys. So a law in this purpose was approved by the parliament in 1997 and rewarded gifting allowed. The state gives money to those who give their kidneys to others. So if we move to reproductive technique, which is the most problematic point in biomedicine today with halal, they raised a number of issues when they were introduced in health system, and they were initially previewed as just a solution for infertile couples. But they are more and more used in the world as an autonomous way of procreation. So in all this context of the world, a serious reflection on new reproductive technique was necessary. But in the Muslim world, it changed completely, removing conception from the marital bed to a lab or a fertility center. But they made a private and natural process very technical. We speak today of manipulating in a lab. So conception and parenthood are completely transformed. We need to notice here that biomedicine have a full of technique in terms of reproductive techniques, each one corresponding to a cause of infertility. Today's techniques are mainly in vitro fertilization, artificial insemination, sperm injection, and surrogacy. So facing those new techniques, Muslims needed a clear answer about such questions. In a religion where accepting fate is a part of your beliefs, is curing infertility against God's will? If you do not accept that you are infertile, is it going against the will of the God? In Islam, where God is the only creator, is the technical intervention in all its different aspects haram or halal, and or all the techniques halal? So we'll see that, like in Judaism, procreation is a religious duty in Islam. We can clearly speak about a natalist religion. And fertility and procreation are a divine blessing, and many religious authorities still consider contraception and abortion as going against the will of God. So asked about the hukum of new reproductive techniques in Islam during the 80s, the World Muslim League, at a meeting in 1985, has agreed that the need for a child for a married woman who cannot procreate is considered as a legitimate aim, justifying the use of new technique of fertility. But only intraconjugal techniques were permitted, and this in accordance with the rule of Islamic rules of descendants, what we call Qawaid Nasab. Both Sunni and Shia admit the use of artificial insemination or in vitro fertilization with sperm from the husband as lawful means of procreation. However, there is a difference between the two schools on the legality of the use after the dissolution of the marriage. In case of divorce or widowed, Sunnis do not accept that a woman use a freezed sperm, for example, but Shia will allow it during the what we call duration of widowing, la durée de vitrité. So under normal circumstances, Sharia requires divorced widow to keep this period. So Shia may allow even a divorced woman to use this cells. So in the context of new reproductive techniques, where husband gametes are kept, the Sunni jurists believe that once the marriage is dissolved by divorce or death, the wife cannot use the stored material and require its destruction. Shia jurists allow it for the use during the waiting period after the death, and Khamenei even allows on his website the use of gametes of the husband by the divorced wife. So intra-conjugal solution, the new reproductive techniques become very problematic, from a religious point of view, when the fertility of one or both spouses cannot be overcome by interconjugal technique, and then they will need the intervention of a third party, either a sperm donor owner or an ovum donor or a mother of surrogacy. So Islam makes the same analogy with Judaism is making between a child born from a sperm donation and the child born from illicit relationship. Sharia qualifies it as ibn zina. Zina corresponding in Islam of any sexual relationship outside of marriage, either partners are married or not. According to the legal principle also of firash, al-waladu lil-firash, the parentage of a child is determined by the marriage bed in which it was conceived. So the zina is considered as a crime against the principle of nasab because it creates confusion of lineage. So this is why the situation cannot even find cannot be accepted as it is a comparison. A sperm donation or an ovum donation will be very comparable to adultery. So although the majority of the Shi'i authorities are in agreement with the Sunni refusal on third intervention, Shi'ism knows very original position about the third donor or on some of the Ayatollah in Iran and Lebanon accept the use and of a third party. So it should be clarified that it is not no one allows sperm donation, but Shi'i allow ovum donation from another woman, and they use for this another legal base that do not exist in Sunnism. It is zawaj al-muta. A father can marry a second wife just to take the ovum from her and put it in the uterus of the first woman, and the marriage will be concluded and ended. Concluded just for a limited period of time. So this type of marriage guarantees especially the rights for any unborn child born within a marriage. The child will not suffer the illegitimate status that Muslim Sharia gives to illegitimate children. The analogy drawn from this institution is also allowed by Hossein Ali Khamenei and to find a legal base. And it's also he's also a marja taqlid in Lebanon, so he can be used as a reference. According to Ayatollah Khamenei, the husband of the infertile couple may conclude this muta with no problem. So this temporary marriage is a way to make lawful sexual union resulting from contact with the man's sperm and the egg of a woman that it is not his wife. So the fatwa of Ayatollah became a law passed by the Iranian parliament, specifying all terms of ovocyte donation. If Ayatollah Mohammed Hussein Fadlallah, another Shiite authority in Lebanon, also allows this type of gift, it is widely rejected in Iraq, for example, with Iraqian Shi'i by Ayatollah al-Sistani and Ayatollah al-Hakim. So despite this condemnation, the fatwa of Allah Khamenei allows many infertile Muslim couples in Iran and elsewhere in the world. As an American anthropologist went to Lebanon and said that doctors keep Khamenei's fatwa collection in their surgery and in their labs to allow people to use it. So the Shi'i originality does not stop an ovocyte donation as muta marriage, but they also allow infertile couples to use a donated embryo. So a legal married couple having an extra embryo can give it to another legally married couple after 11 years. So we stay in a circle of legality. So there is no ibn zina in the story, because the embryo comes from a married couple who will give it to another couple. So acceptance of an embryo donation seems to be unequal, as it deprives one of the parents, for example, to have a genetical link with the child, which is sometimes preferable for an infertile couple. So I will conclude by saying that the demand of halal science put biomedicine always under this halal filter. the cure. This filter of halal will offer interesting points of view, especially when it comes to discussing the cure child, l'enfant médicament, as stem cells are used in the Muslim world, because the definition of life starts only at 120 days of life. So stem cells of embryos are used with no regrets or no further reflection on it. So this halal filter is very visible, especially, for example, if we want to see the Tunisian case, only in biomedicine halal meets legal, where it was not the case, as Tunisia does not allow a polygamy. So polygamy became illegal, which is halal but not illegal. And full adoption is allowed, and full adoption is exactly the same result as having a child with no genetic links with the parents. So how can you accept full adoption and not sperm donation or ovum donation? So I think that it's interesting to see how biomedical techniques kept some techniques out of the Muslim world, so any third donor is excluded, and how some researchers are possible in the Muslim world and not in other places in the world because of this halal definition of biomedicine. Thank you very much.